Did you happen to see the most beautiful girl in the world? And if you did, was she crying, crying? Hey.
Is this what you think of when you hear Charlie Rich's name? Probably. For a while there in the 70s, he had a decent career as a country star, one of the bright lights in Billy Sherrill's stable of countrypolitan performers, and recorded songs that ranged from excellent to awfully sentimental. It did, however, make him a lot of money, and those of us who'd been following Charlie Rich's career for a while were certainly glad to see that happen. Charlie Rich was born in 1932 in the Arkansas hamlet of Colt, not far from Memphis, and almost from the very beginning he was different. He became a jazz buff in high school and loved Stan Kenton's music so much the kids called him Charlie Kenton. He picked out odd chords and strange voicings on the family piano and wound up playing a lot of jazz when he went off to college. He joined the Air Force, married his old high school sweetheart, Margaret Ann, and played music on weekends while he worked a chicken farm during the week. In 1959, he decided to give recording a shot and went to the most natural place in Memphis, Sun Records.
Make it all right.
We'll make it all right.
From Monday morning to Friday night.
Oh, those lonely weekends.
Since you left me.
Since you left me.
I'm as lonely as I can be.
Oh, those lonely weekends.
Said you'd be.
Lonely Weekends, despite the horrible backup vocals, was a substantial hit in 1960, but it took him a while to get it released. He spent the first part of his time at Sun writing songs for Johnny Cash and Roy Orbison, and finally got to make his own record almost as an afterthought. It came at a time when Sam Phillips was losing interest in the label he'd started a decade earlier, and although he later said that he felt that only Elvis exceeded the raw talent he'd seen in Charlie Rich, it was only because the record was as good as it was that it got heard at all. It got virtually no promotion, and the label was in its last months when it was released. Still, Charlie was in a good position. He'd had a hit, and he was talented and a fairly fresh face. The next stop was Smash, a Nashville-based division of Mercury, and Smash was just what he had.
Lou is a hippie that's happening all over our town, tearing up the chicks with the message that he lays down. Lou is a cooler guy, that is what I am.
Mohair Sam was the college girl's dream, hip and happening, and the song made it to the top 40 in 1965. But Charlie, prematurely gray and 33 years old, was nobody's idea of a teen idol, or even a college kid's idol. Nobody seemed to know what to do with him, and after no follow-up was forthcoming, Smash let him go. He showed up next at High Records in Memphis, where they had him cut an album of Hank Williams material and some soul-flavored stuff that they never even bothered to release. Soon, they too cut him loose. Chet Atkins had just been put in charge of a hip new label at RCA called Groove, and he figured that Charlie was just what they needed, so he signed him and sent him onto a magnificent version of a Jimmy Reed song.
Big boss man, won't you hear me when I call? Yeah, big boss man, won't you hear me when I call? Just holding us all.
Big Boss Man was prime Charlie Rich, soulful and bluesy, and it's now considered a classic, but it only made tiny waves in 1967 when it was released. Next, they too tried him on country material, but nobody wanted to know about it. The string of failures had taken its toll. Back at Sun, he'd cut a tune called Sittin' and Thinkin', and it told the story of the next few years.
I got loaded last night on a bottle of gin.
And I had a fight with my best girlfriend. But when I'm drinking, I am nobody's friend. But please, baby, wait for me until they let me out again.
In the song, he admits it'll happen again, and it has. Despite his finally finding success in 1973 with Behind Closed Doors, Charlie Rich's demons have won out time after time. In his fine books Feel Like Going Home and Lost Highway, Peter Guralnick has two superb portraits of Rich before and after success, with both Charlie and Margaret Ann being unflinchingly honest about his alcohol problem and his problems with people who want to straitjacket him into playing one type of music or another. It's never been easy to be an original in American popular music, but if you can find some of those old Charlie Rich records, I guarantee you some moments quite unlike anything else you've ever heard.